Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
D. Mace, Fingin, and Donick, 1025-1063 The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingin here with you on Wednesday. I hope everybody's having a wonderful start to your day, a beautiful day outside. I want to get a quick vibe check from Willie. We haven't touched base with Willie and the New York Mets in the past few days, but the Mets 7-2 winners last night against the Philadelphia Phillies. They now lead their series 2-1 with a chance to advance to the National League Championship Series today. And let me tell you, Willie, when I knew the Mets were going to win the game yesterday without even having to watch the game, and I sent you guys this video yesterday, in preparation for the game at Citi Field, Grimace, not some rando and a Spirit Halloween Grimace costume, but the actual Grimace, and I say actual in quotation marks because there's not really a Grimace, but the McDonald's sanctioned Grimace.
Mm-hmm. The official suit.
Right, the official the official Grimace costume. Grimace, quote unquote, rode the subway to Citi Field. Mm-hmm. And I sent you all a video of Grimace getting on the 7 train heading towards Citi Field, and that car got turned up when Grimace showed up.
They went wild.
They went hog wild. And I said right there, the vibes are immaculate. The Mets are winning today. Grimace got the fans riled up on the way to the stadium. But the Mets, I'm not saying they're going to win today. I'm just asking
Willie's the steam is starting to come off my head.
I'm want a vibe check from Willie with his Mets one win away from advancing to the championship series.
Listen, you haven't been in that seat long enough to know Coach Willie. Coach Willie will shoot that down in a heartbeat. If he could have cut off your mic while you were saying that, he would have. Coach Willie would have.
I'm the captain now. So that's all I'm saying. I'm sitting in this chair. I'm the captain. But I'm just saying that as soon as Grimace got turned up on that subway car, I said, Mets got this one in the bag.
That was funny. There were several impersonations of the Grimace.
There's only one.
There are a couple guys that come to every game in a Grimace costume. I guess they remain anonymous. I don't know when the camera's off. Do they actually take the suit off so they can breathe?
Do they actually go into the game with the Grimace suit on?
They sit in the crowd with the full. It's like the cheap Halloween costume, like $1.99 or not the real with the big girth. Yeah. It's just like the cheap throw it over your body. But you go with what works. Between that and the OMG, the song by Jose Iglesias. It has really turned into a tremendous festive atmosphere. They're trying to ride that wave. It was the first home game they had played since the crazy comeback. Even before they went to Atlanta for that crazy comeback that got them into the playoffs. So they hadn't played a home game in a couple of weeks. Mm. So they were hungry, and the former Nashville Sound, Sean Manaea, pitched a really good game. So they got a chance in front of the home crowd to do it again today, but we know baseball.
One more game.
Baseball, anything can happen.
The other series in the National League has been heated. It's been heated, to say the least. The Padres beat the Dodgers 6-5 to take a 2-1 series lead, but
it was a lot of tension in that game yesterday.
To say the least.
Yes.
It has been, as Willie said, a very spicy series. Those teams clearly do not care for each other.
Fans throwing stuff. I mean, it's just getting outrageous.
And look, you got to love them in sports, but Manny Machado and Fernando Tatis have just decided, you know what? These fans don't like me, mm-hmm. so let's just lean into it. Yeah. I mean, they're taunting the fans. They're stirring it up. Manny Machado's throwing baseballs into the Dodgers' dugout. Uh-huh. got the Dodger manager, Dave Roberts, to say, he threw the ball at me. He tried to throw the ball at me, which is exactly what Manny Machado wanted out there, right? Because Fernando Tatis, Derek Jeter was going through some clips that people had shot of Tatis from the outfield. Mm-hmm. He's just doing crazy stuff. He just turns to the fans and starts dancing, starts shaking his midsection.
Shaking his tail feather. Just,
yeah, he doesn't care. And it's helping him. Like, he's playing well. Machado is playing well in the face of it, and the Dodgers are not as much. Walker Buehler, the former Commodore, trying to come back from his second Tommy John surgery. Mm. He just doesn't quite have the gear that he normally does, and they took advantage of him. Tatis hit an absolute majestic, moonshot to put them way ahead. The Dodgers came back, and it was 6-5 for a long time. It's a good game. So the series have been really exciting. They all were 1-1 for the first time in history. All four series were tied at 1. The American League resumes today. So the Yankees go to Kansas City. That's going to be a great atmosphere. And Detroit gets to host their first playoff game in about a decade. I think it's been 2014 or 2015 since they were last in it. So that place is going to be rocking this afternoon. That's the earliest one. That's the first game to start today, 2 o'clock.
And if I'm not mistaken, tomorrow, because I saw this from the NHL, they pushed back the start of the Red Wings game against the Penguins by an hour to accommodate the start of the Tigers game against the Guardians. And so there's going to be a lot happening in downtown Detroit tomorrow.
Oh, yes. No doubt.
Between the playoff game and the season opener for the Red Wings. The Predators will be in Detroit on Saturday. Willie will be on the call for that game. Mm-hmm. But a lot going on in Detroit tomorrow.
I didn't realize that no one in Major League Baseball, no team, excuse me, had over 100 wins this year.
That's right.
Wow. When the last time that happened was 10 years ago, somewhere around there?
I forgot. I did see that throughout the season. They were talking about it. There just wasn't the one super dominant
glaring team. Yeah.
Yeah. And that, I think, has helped these playoffs be very competitive. And even when there is a 100-win team, that's the beauty of baseball, is if you just get hot and you get the timely hit at the key time, pitchers step up, it's like the NHL playoffs. There's more chance of upsets, I think, and underdog runs in those two sports than there are in the others. Although I think NBA is getting better in that. I think when I was growing up, it was so rare that you had a huge upset, a 7 or 8 seed beating a 1 seed. It didn't happen very often, but it seems to be happening a little bit more now. I think the salary
parity,
cap. A little more
so
parity.
So much parity. So
we shall see. B-Man on the text line said, Adam just jinxed the hell out of you, Willie. I did not say the Mets were going to win. I just wanted a vibe check from Willie. Yeah.
The vibe check was the doomer right there, man.
Just get your McDonald's, get your grimace on.
Do you eat McDonald's?
On occasion, not very often. It's
a special occasion.
You gotta
occasion.
Pick your spots.
I eat McDowell's.
McDowell's?
Yeah.
The Golden Arcs.
Yes. They got
the Golden
Arches.
Coming to America. That's great. See the movie. If you know, you know. Yeah, but the guy from Good Times, John Amos, he's got McDowell's, which is a big knockoff, but he's got his whole speech ready to go.
Exactly.
It's not a knockoff. They have the old Golden Arches. I got the Golden Arcs.
He said they got the Big Mac. Yeah. We got the Big Mick.
Not a knockoff at all.
To be fair, I am like Willie as a sports fan. I remember this vividly. A couple of years ago in the men's basketball tournament in the second round, Duke drew Tennessee in the second round. And Jared went on his show and guaranteed that Duke would beat Tennessee in the second round. And I texted him immediately and I said, that is the kiss of death, my friend.
Mwah.
And I knew at that point they had no chance to win. And, of course, Tennessee did, in fact, eliminate Duke from the tournament. Mm-hmm. And I was very mad at Jared. So I understand, Willie, where you're coming from. I hope that the Mets win for my sake so I don't have to hear about it.
Mm-hmm.
But we did actually have 3 NHL regular season games yesterday. And, by the way, coming up in the next segment, Chris Mason will join us every Wednesday at 11:25 thereabouts. Chris Mason will join us to discuss the Nashville Predators, and that starts today. Also, another programming note for you Predators fans out there. Starting tomorrow at 1 o'clock, we resume our weekly chats with Elliot Freeman of Sportsnet and 32 Thoughts podcast. Looking forward to talking to Elliot. We will all be at Bridgestone Arena tomorrow for the Predators season opener against the Dallas Stars. But we saw three games in the NHL last night, two involving Central Division teams. There were three Central Division teams in all playing yesterday. The St. Louis Blues go on the road to defeat the Seattle Kraken 3-2. The Florida Panthers began their championship defense by beating the Boston Bruins 6-4. By the way, imagine if Jeremy Swayman had not signed his contract before the season. The Bruins were down 4-1 at the end of the first period. That might have added a couple of million dollars to his cap hit had he not been under contract. But the Panthers win 6-4. And the Utah Hockey Club, the rechristened Arizona Coyotes, win their inaugural game 5-2 against the Chicago Blackhawks. And, Willie, you mentioned you had a funny story about our friend Hal Gill as it relates to the Utah Hockey Club.
ESPN had the triple header. They had all three of those games. So our good friend AJ Molesko was part of the announcing team for the Utah game. And AJ and Hal, AJ was a gold medalist for the U.S. women's team. Great player, went to school at Harvard. Hal went to Providence, but he was playing for the Bruins. So they used to train together. They got to know each other very well, a long, long time ago. So Hal, of course, has to call AJ for the scouting report on the New Market, Utah. Hey, what's the scene like?
What's
it like? And she reported to him that the bars close very early in Utah. So I got a text this morning. Our broadcast team got a text this morning. Hal was up in arms, like, oh my gosh, guess what I found out? The bars close early in Utah. What are we gonna do?
Willie was thinking, I'm going to sleep.
I mean, I was like, well, you know, we'll deal with it. He's like, no, wait, we've got to plan ahead. We've got to do. The Predators don't play in Utah for weeks.
Hey, Hal is a man about his business. Okay, right. He got to make sure
he wants a thorough scouting report.
Exactly. Hal and Utah is like oil and water. That's what it is.
It does not seem to mix very well.
If they force Hal to live in Utah, I'm not sure how can do it.
I saw the Book of Mormon on Broadway. I feel like I know everything I need to know about Utah. Okay, right?
Utah is a beautiful state. I like it. I've been there a couple of times to hike. It's beautiful. I love it.
Something tells me Hal Gill owns at least one flask, if not more. But I'm going to put. I'm going to say at least one.
Sure. Okay. At least one.
I will relay that to Hal that maybe the flask is a tool that should be brought.
And he probably has different ounces of a flask. You know, one maybe
for every occasion.
Exactly. It just depends. You know.
But they did put on a great show last night. It looked really good. I think a lot of teams, like, remember Vegas. You get a bump when it's new and it's exciting, and that group of players has been playing in front of nobody basically for quite a while.
Are they
and
playing
so now
at
they've
the
got
Jazz,
yes,
arena?
The Delta
okay.
Center.
All right.
And it's not configured for hockey, so not everything fits, but they've done whatever they can
to make it work.
And it's way better than what they have been dealing with. So I think Utah is a sleeper team that could sneak into the playoffs. They're close, I think. The former Predator Connor Ingram.
That was very cool. That was very cool to see Connor Ingram start the first game for the Utah Hockey Club. And why I say first game, not just because it was their first game, but this is considered a new franchise. Like, they did not retain any of the Arizona Coyotes records or anything like that. That was part of the sale of the Coyotes to Ryan Smith, who owns the Jazz and now Utah Hockey Club. So it's a new, they have no records. Like, yesterday was the start of the records for the Utah Hockey Club. JC in Goodlettsville on our text line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, says the Big Mick doesn't have sesame seeds.
It has pumpkin seeds.
Oh, that's good stuff.
Man.
That's good stuff.
Man, oh,
but
man.
We're looking forward to getting everything going. So the Predators tomorrow night, Dallas Stars, and that's
good
gonna
game.
Be,
it's going to be a big game.
It is a big game.
Ooh. The Dallas Stars are the heavy favorite to win. Yep, you've got your Winter Classic mug,
absolutely.
Predators and Stars at the Cotton Bowl a few years ago. Mm-hmm. The Dallas Stars are the heavy favorite to win the Central Division. They have made it to the Western Conference Final in each of the past two seasons. They have not advanced past the Western Conference Final. They lost to the Edmonton Oilers last year and the Vegas Golden Knights the year before that. So they have come up just short of the Stanley Cup Final. But a very good test for the Predators right out the gate. And as Willie mentioned yesterday, the last time the Dallas Stars were in Nashville, it was the rock bottom moment of last season, the 9-2 loss to the Stars on home ice, the worst defeat at home in franchise history. Of course, the following night, they go to St. Louis. They start that point streak, that franchise record point streak. But Dallas in Nashville for the first time since the low point of last season, that 9-2 loss at home.
So many things turned after that game. One other twist that we just saw, or at least I just saw, you guys may have seen it before that, but the Predators have recalled Matt Murray, a former Dallas Stars goalie. So that would put three goalies on the roster, which has you wondering what might be going on there in terms of Predators goaltending. You don't usually call up a goalie at this point unless something's going on with one of the other goalies.
So according to Alex Daugherty of the Tennessean, he just tweeted this a few minutes ago, UC Saros is day-to-day with a lower body injury.
Yes. Goodness.
Andrew Brunette says they have not made a decision on a starter for Predators opener versus Stars on Thursday. So,
but that tells you that if you're calling somebody up, that something's going on. And if you were watching the game on Saturday, of course, in the midst of, like I was, trying to watch the Predators game at Bridgestone Arena and the Mets and Vanderbilt against Alabama, you did notice that UC Saros had a spectacular first period. He played great. They gave up some chances. We were like, wait a minute. This isn't good. They're giving up a lot of chances. But Saros was playing great. But he did not come out for the second period. They didn't say anything. But I did, in the back of my mind, say to myself, that's unusual. So I did, and so it looks like he is dealing with something. So we'll see what happens. I think if it were serious or something, they could put him on the injured list. They haven't done that, so we'll have to keep an eye on that situation.
So UC Saros is considered day to day with a lower body injury. No word on whether or not he will start tomorrow in the Predators' season opener against the Dallas Stars. If not, then Scott Wedgwood would get the call against his former team.
Nice little plot line for you.
Yes, Scott Wedgwood spending the past three seasons, if I'm not mistaken, with the Dallas Stars. So that is something to keep an eye on for sure. Speaking of Predators goaltenders, Chris Mason, former Predators goaltender, current Predators television analyst, will join us next. We have some juicy, no pun intended, topics to discuss with him. With the news that UC Saros is day-to-day with a lower body injury, we'll get into all of that and more with Chris Mason coming up next. Tune into 94.9 The Fan this Saturday for Vanderbilt football. The Commodores, fresh off their upset win against Alabama, will take on Kentucky with pregame beginning at 5 and kickoff at 6:45. Coverage is also available on 94.9 The Fan app and at thegamenashville.com. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan. And that can only mean one thing. Joining us on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, our friend Chris Mason, who will join us every Wednesday around this time. Chris, I understand that you have been filling in at practice these past few days, and I also heard that you got in front of a Steven Stamkos one-timer. Do I have this correct?
You do have it correct, and the details are a little bit fuzzy on that. I was completely out of position, and I think a Steven Stamkos one-timer got in the way of my arm that was just in the middle of the net.
Hey, a save is a save. You know that
right.
Full well. As long as the puck didn't
save.
Go in.
Hey, it's just like it's just like playing golf. You hit that one shot, keeps you coming back.
Yep, and that was one of my very – exactly. I'm going to do it till I can't do it no more. If they call me and they need me, I'm there.
Well, let's talk about that Steven Stamkos one-timer, because when you discuss one-timers in the NHL, you obviously think of Alex Ovechkin, for example. Mika Zibanejad with the New York Rangers has a great one-timer. But Steven Stamkos, you know, perhaps more than any other player, relied on that one-timer to generate offense. So take us into your perspective of what what that one-timer looks like when it comes off that stick.
It's honestly crazy. It's easier to read a slap shot for a goaltender because the angle's not going to change. It's just usually blunt force. If the shot's good enough to beat you, the accuracy, there's a lot of different things. And obviously the velocity of the shot is what impacts. It's a lot easier to stop a slap shot. He could tell me, and I've done drills with him when he was only 19. I played in the World Championships with him, and he just finished his rookie year. And you want to see what all these guys are about. I got to do that with Crosby, Jonathan Taves, a bunch of guys, and you get to see their skill set. And we did drills at the end of practice with his one timer, and I knew exactly where he was going to go. And there's a lot of time. I couldn't catch up to it. It's incredible. And, you know, fast forward now to when I'm a million times slower, it's even worse. But it's a great reminder for me to go out at ice level and actually be on the ice and just really appreciate how accurate, how hard these guys shoot. It's unbelievable. Philip Forsberg's release, I forgot how amazing that is. Very underrated. Jonathan Marchessault's got an incredibly deceptive release. But even Stamkos, we're doing drills, and there was, you know, another two-on-one drill, and the only spot he had to go was there's just a little rectangle over my shoulder, and I knew he was going there. I tried to make myself as big as possible, and sure enough, boink, barn in. They're the best in the world for a reason.
You got to wear the big pads, man. You got to wear the big pads, Mace.
I know. I need bigger ones.
Well, Chris, the reason you have been filling in at Predators practice is because UC Saros has not been practicing these past few days, and within the past 10-15 minutes or so, we have learned that UC Saros is day-to-day with a lower body injury. His status for tomorrow's season opener is unclear. What more can you tell us about that? And also, the other question about that is, if UC Saros can't start, Scott Wedgwood would be in line to start the season opener. When we discuss player switching teams and adjusting to a new system, we usually focus on the skaters. But what kind of changes, adjustments does a goaltender have to make when joining a new team, and how could that affect Scott Wedgwood if he indeed starts tomorrow?
Yeah, well, I'll start with the UC Saros. He skated yesterday, went on before practice, didn't practice. I practiced, and I think this morning they called up Matt Murray.
They did.
So they'll, you know, that's either it's either precautionary, and they're hoping Saros can skate today. I don't know if he practiced with the team or not. That'll probably indicate a lot, as will the morning skate tomorrow. So the fact that they called Matt Murray up, that could mean the possibility of Saros starting game one is in jeopardy. So keep an eye on that. And for Scott Wedgwood, I mean, you go to teams and new teams, and it's tough. It's a huge adjustment. You want to go in right away and, you know, prove yourself to the team and practice and get to know all the guys, you're wearing a different jersey. You're in a different arena. Everything is new, just like any other player. But I think for a goaltender, you're obviously the central focal point a little more because of the, impact that you can have on a game one way or the other. So, his preseason didn't probably go as well as he would have liked. It was kind of a different kind of a preseason with all the game cancellations and all that, getting settled into a new house and, you know, a new place and a new organization and all those things go into it. But at the end of the day, these guys are, you know, they're professional. And if he does get the start, and the other part of it is he's going against his old team, which adds another, wrinkle to the equation. So there's probably a lot going on, but, the guys will have to pick him up and be there to support him. And at the end of the day, once the initial emotions of a home opener is a lot for any player, you're just so excited. And I think it's just elevated even more, the intensity and the nerves and all that. But once you get settled into the game, that disappears. So I think the start of this game, the first 10 minutes, if Wedgwood ends up getting that game, are extremely important.
Chris, I remember the first time you started against the Predators, and I believe that was the shutout, 1-0 shootout. You were playing for the Blues. The question gets asked all the time, but what do you make of they know you know them? Like they know you so well when you're playing against your former team that you practice against for all that time, and vice versa. So who do you think has an advantage, if anybody, in that situation?
You know, honestly, I would have to say that, you know, there's obvious maybe a few tendencies that each guy might have and, you know, a weakness here or there. If you can get the opportunity to exploit something, the goalies are so, you know, scouted so well, and the in-depth scouting reports you get on goaltenders, and basically the equation is almost the same for everybody. You'll show some video on maybe something special a guy does, or if he's letting in a lot of goals a certain way, you'll look at that. But again, you have to get that opportunity within the game. So I think a lot of it is just, you know, you're both at the top of the game. If let's say a guy is, you know, he's weak, high blocker side, if you can look to get that. But having said that, you know, the goaltender might know that, hey, they know my weakness, low blocker or high blocker or whatever. So I'll be a little extra, you know, diligent on that. I don't necessarily think there's an advantage, but I'll tell you what, though, it's a lot of head games, because the goaltender, you know, you do shootouts all the time and you know guys' moves. And then before they're going to go in a shootout or in a situation like that, well, you think, well, you know, he knows I always do this, you know, pump fake backhand move. So do I do something different, or do I think he thinks I'm going to do something different, so I do it? You know, so there's a lot of that. I think the first initial time, if time allows that. But other than that, I just think it's just, you just go toe to toe and see what happens. But there's definitely tendencies on both sides that both can, you know, utilize.
Now, see, Mace, you know, you got two new guys coming in, Stamkos and Marchessault. You know, these guys have skins on the walls. They're 40-goal scorers. Is it easier for those guys to get acclimated to the team, or is it easier for the team to sort of get acclimated to them? Because when you have two guys like that on the ice that are known for scoring goals, as a team, you try to find the best way to put them in the best position to show their talent. So is it them trying to get used to the guys, or the guys trying to get used to them?
I think for the guys, are it's easy when a couple new guys come in and you have a good, you know, core and a system and a, you know, group of guys that have been here that can help the new players adapt. I think for players like Steven Stamkos and Jonathan Marchessault and Brady Shea, who have been in their situations for a long time, I think when you first get somewhere, you know, training camp's so long. I think we all know that. You just want to get to the regular season. You get acclimated and you're kind of running on adrenaline and that excitement. Everything's new and you want to get going. But there's a point in the season, I think, where that adrenaline wears off and reality sets in. And, you know, it's a little bit of an emotional roller coaster. And when that happens, I think everybody's different, but it does happen. So I think these three in particular, you know, they've been around the block. You know, they're experienced, they're professional, they're going to show up and they're going to perform, but it does take time. You know, that chemistry on the power play, that's something I think will probably take a little bit of time to, you know, to get where they can really have enough reps to start, you know, feeling and knowing each other's tendencies and just get that chemistry where you don't really have to, you know, think as much, opposed to just go out there and play and go through your routes and you know where the other guy's going to be and you have some plays to be able to open up certain options. And if, you know, if someone's taken away Stamkos's one-timer, you know, you can, you know, hit the guy in the middle or go back up and just get a bunch of those rotations. So they kind of go through every scenario. I think that stuff, the on ice, you know, sometimes it magically just happens right away, but I think for the most part, that's the part I think that will, you know, take a little bit longer. The chemistry on the lines, maybe Marchessault, Stamkos, Novak, can they get going right away? Does it take a little bit of time? That's three new guys that have really only played together, you know, for a couple weeks here. So, you know, the off-ice stuff, I'm sure, as you know, D-Mace, when you go to a new team, you're jacked up, and then, you know, there's a reality point, you're like, oh man, this is, it's a lot different than I thought, or whatever the case may be, and it's a big change in guys' lives, so they'll have to adapt and, you know, deal with that at some point.
Now, Adam brought up the question this week, I think it was this week or late last week, about the power play. They finished top 20, I think they were 16th. Yeah, in power play. Obviously, adding to this power play, Marchessault and Stamkos. Should this be a top, because the question was, is this a top 10 based upon the names and skins on the wall? Is this a top 10 power play unit?
I think it could be. Mm-hmm. I really do. You know, it's a lot of it's going to be in the chemistry of this unit, because I think with the volume shooters that they have on that first unit is now. You got Roman Josi near the top of the league. Philip Forsberg had a career year in shots on goal last year. Marchessault is a shooter. Stamkos is a shooter. You know, and then, you know, I have Ryan O'Reilly at the net front, and he'll get in there and you know, put home the garbage and all that. And these guys attack the net. Marchessault attacks the net. Forsberg scored more net front goals, you know, by a country mile than he ever has in his career. So I feel they have the intangibles. Obviously, Roman Josi, the quarterback up top, who is, you know, very capable of having a big one-timer on the other side of Stamkos if that play opens up. So I feel that first unit definitely has the potential, and they have the talent and the tools to be a top 10 power play. It's just a matter of finding chemistry. And, you know, does Phil fit in, you know, as that as a right-hand shot where he's going to be playing on the wall, or how does that, you know, materialize? Do they have to make tweaks to it? But it'll just be interesting to see how everybody, you know, if that complements each other, having that many shooters on the power play. But I feel that they do have the tools, and I expect a lot of shots. I just hope everyone doesn't try to be too unselfish and keep passing the puck to someone else because they don't want to be that guy. But I don't foresee that happening. I just think it might take a little bit of time for them to get to the level that that they need to.
Chris, last one for you. With all of the discussion about Steven Stamkos and Jonathan Marchessault, it feels like Brady Shea has flown under the radar a little bit. The Predators signed him to a 7-year deal, $49 million over those 7 years, so $7 million per season. But a big addition on the back end. What does Brady Shea provide this team that it might have been missing in recent years?
Well, I think, you know, obviously he's a great replacement of Ryan McDonagh. I think we, you know, saw the value of McDonagh over his time here and just how, you know, good he was defensively. I thought last year he actually stepped it up a little bit offensively. But, you know, Brady Shea's kind of, I would say, a newer age Ryan McDonagh in the fact that he's an excellent penalty killer. That's one of his, you know, things that he prides himself on is his ability to defend and, you know, put, you know, make valuable minutes on the penalty kill, but also his offensive game. I think that if you're comparing it to somebody like McDonagh, who, you know, I consider that a replacement for, he's better offensively. He has more of an ability to get the puck and get up in the play. He's a really good, one of the best two-way defensemen in the league. So I think you have an upgrade in that category. And I think you're right. I think people, obviously, with the, you know, the star power of Stamkos and Marchessault, he often gets mentioned third, but I think his value is going to be incredibly important. And I think that was just a big signing as the Marchessault Stamkos, because you have to replace a guy like Ryan McDonagh. And I think you get a younger, you know, maybe a bit more offensive, you know, version of that. He's one of the best.
Chris Mason is with us, and, see, Mace, we got a text from Hal Gill this morning. I was just wondering if you followed up with a phone call or anything. It sounds like he's a little bit up in arms with the Utah situation after Utah put on a great show last night, their first ever game. I like their uniforms. The atmosphere looked really good. That's kind of a sleeper team that people should watch out. But the big news from Hal's point of view was that apparently in Salt Lake City, the bars close early. Like, what are we going to do? Like, Hal seems to be very, very troubled by this.
Well, yes, and that's hilarious because we don't even go there till March, and he's worrying about that now. So. hopefully,
hey, you got to prepare in advance,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, we got to prepare. Yeah, hopefully by then we can figure.
Is he trying
out
to get like some ordinances changed or something? Like, is there? Yeah, does he know the city council there?
Oh, yeah, he's gonna write a letter to Congress or something. Try to get, yeah. Oh, no, man. That's hilarious. I laughed when I saw that. I'm like, man, we don't want to go there to March. I'm like, you're worried about that already? That's hilarious, but.
Do you agree on Utah, though? I think Utah, who is in the Predators division, is a very interesting team to watch, especially when you have the newness of a new fan base, and I think they've got a lot of enthusiasm there.
I do, actually. And I think, you know, we've talked about them when they're the Coyotes. They've had so much young talent, and, you know, they've traded away all their, you know, whatever free agent signings. And they've always had a good core, but it's almost like they didn't really want to take that step. They didn't want to win, you know, for whatever reason, and keep their numbers low with the ownership group they had in Arizona. But that's not the case anymore. This is a team that they got a good start with the core young players and team that they had, and then they added some good players. So this is an organization and a team that's going to win. They're not looking to just get by and, you know, get the salary cap numbers down and take on a bunch of extra contracts so they can get to the floor and do it that way. This is a team that's going to keep building. And now I think you'll see when you talk about that franchise, guys like Clayton Keller and, you know, Durzi and all the guys that have been there for a while are going to get the support pieces that they haven't got in the past. And it's going to be very interesting. I think they're going to be a tough team. And as you said, Willie, they're riding high on the new, you know, excitement around that team in Utah. And it looked like it was an awesome atmosphere there all day. Watched the ESPN all day, and they were based out of there, and it looked incredible. So, yeah, keep an eye on them. It's going to be Central's going to be tough this year.
Chris, please check on Hal Gill for us.
I will. I'll do a wellness call here after I get off with you guys.
It's going to be a very long 6 months for Hal Gill as he game plans for your trip to Utah. Chris Mason joining us, as he will every Wednesday at 11:20, 11:25. Chris, thanks for joining us. We'll chat next week.
All right. Thanks, DVD. See you guys.
Chris Mason joining us here. Coming up next, we'll wrap up our Predators conversation with our next two Predators preseason questions. We'll get to those next. Speaking of the Predators, tomorrow it's your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click. If you correctly guess a Predators player that scores a goal in the game tomorrow, you win a pair of tickets to an upcoming home game. Participate with Robbie and Rexro tomorrow morning at 8:45.
All right, let's tell you about Lee Company, 615-567-1000. Lee Company has all of your needs ready to go when it comes to being a homeowner and keeping on top of things with things like your heating, your cooling, your electric system, your plumbing system.
D-Mace thing in the Donick, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Tennessee Titans head coach Brian Callahan will address reporters at St. Thomas Sports Park coming up at noon. We will carry that live. We will talk to Jonathan Hutton after that. We will get heavy into Titans Colts in the second and third hours of the program. One Predators-related note to pass along. By the way, welcome back to Brooks Bratton to the Nashville Predators organization after a couple of years away. Brooks Bratton back in the fold with the Predators, and Brooks tweeted 10 minutes ago, quote, "Preds goaltender UC Saros says he's feeling better today than yesterday. Saros says his injury is, quote, nothing too bad. Hopeful to feel even better tomorrow." So okay, We'll see if UC Saros can indeed start tomorrow against the Dallas Stars, according to Brooks Bratton. UC Saros says his injury is, quote, unquote, nothing too bad, and he is hopeful to feel even better tomorrow.
But it is game one of 82, though. Keep that in mind. Yeah, it's a tough decision.
Yes. So we are approaching the end of my 10 Predators questions. We're going to do 7 and 8 today, 9 and 10 tomorrow, live from Bridgestone Arena. I've got two questions. We'll do the simple one first. On ESPN Bet, the Predators' over-under point total is set at 98.5. Are you taking the over or the under? 98.5. Willie, why don't you go first?
98.5.
Wow. 98.5. And I believe they had 99 last season.
Yeah. They did. And I think their over under last year was only like, I don't know, 83.5 or 84.5. So it is jacked up big time. I feel like it's going to be right around the same, just based on the ballots. We just talked about Utah. I think they're better. I think the Blackhawks, for example, will still struggle, but they'll be better than they were last year. So all that to say, I'll take over barely. I think if you asked me like yesterday, you asked for exactly how many starts you think Saros will have. If you asked me exactly how many points, I would have said 99. I think the same is what I would say.
So Willie taking the over, barely just over. Barely. At 99 points, which would mean the same point total for the Predators this season as last season. Derek, over under 98.5 for the Predators this season.
Ooh, man. I was trying to look at their last couple of seasons. They had 99 last year. The year before that was 92, I believe.
Yep,
somewhere
fell
around
short.
There. Just fell short. And then the year before that, they were 97. So around there, about a 90. Five point team over the last three seasons. And we know how much of a, you know, just up and down they were, you know, last season or seasons before that. They've added three new faces, guys that are, you know, I said this earlier, they have skins on the wall, guys that know how to score goals, guys coming from winning organizations, coupled with the guys that have already been here. The system that Bruno is running now is more of an offensive system. I expect, what did you say, 98?
98 and a half.
I expect more than that. I think they're going to be a 100-point team. I expect a 100-point team. They were 99 points last year, right? 99.
Yes.
I think they're a 100-point team.
So you're taking the over. Are you saying 100 points?
Yeah, I'm taking the over. I'm taking the over.
I'm going to say the same thing. I think there could be some regression statistically in some areas. You hope that the players that Barry Trotz brought in sort of mitigate that. And the talent, it's a clearly more talented team when you consider some of the other factors on other teams, teams they could be playing, their division, all of that stuff. I will say over as well at 100 points. So we all say over 98.5, Willie at 99, Derek and I at 100. Okay, here is the open-ended question, which is why I wanted to leave some room for this one. What most concerns you about this Predators team? You can take it anywhere you want to go, but as we start this season, what most concerns you about this Predators team, Willie?
I'll give you two areas. The number one is backup goalie. Mm-hmm. I think there's going to be it, and we might find out right away tomorrow. It could end up being a really good thing. Scott Wedgwood thrown into the fire where there's almost no time to think. You go up against your former team. There's a lot going there. Maybe that will, you know, jumpstart him. But I think the acclimation to Andrew Brunette's system can take a little time. You don't know what, if anything, Matt Murray and Magnus Crona, the next wave of goalies, could provide if they're thrust in there. So goalie depth, mm-hmm. I think, is one. And then number two is with Spencer Stastny's status unknown, defensive depth mm-hmm. is, to me, another area that that is something to keep your eye on. Because I think we have to keep in mind that their injury situation last year was pretty favorable, all things considered. And if you just go, you want to be able to be prepared for injuries to happen over the course of a six-month season. And are you prepared to fill? Can you get by? I think in most of the areas, they have excellent depth. I love the young core at Milwaukee, but the defensive depth and the goalie depth, I think, is where I would say, can they get through a stretch of time if they have to dip too far into that depth? Mm-hmm.
Before Derek answers, we have some interesting news via Jim Wyatt of the Tennessee Titans. Hmm. The Titans have added veteran quarterback Trevor Siemian to the practice squad. Trevor Siemian, veteran quarterback, now a member of the Titans practice squad. The Titans hadn't been carrying an extra quarterback. What could that mean for the status of Will Levis?
It reminds me of something that Jonathan Hutton told us last week, to keep an eye on that very thing.
So we will hear what Brian Callahan has to say coming up with his news conference. But back to the Predators. Derek, what most concerns you about this Predators team?
I do agree with you, Willie, the goalie depth behind UC Soros. I think we didn't worry about that too much with Lankinen last year. If Soros had to miss a game for whether it was rest or injury, I think we all felt good about Lankinen coming in and getting the job done. So I agree with you in regards to the goalie. Another for me is, and we talked about this yesterday, the center position. You know, can Tommy Novak step up and be that guy that we all believe he can be? He's shown flashes here and there, but he needs to put it together this year. He needs to have more consistent play at that center position. So that's a concern for me, because if you don't get it out of him, where do you go? Do you switch up lineups to try to get somebody in there from probably one of those bottom lines, whether it's Colton Sissons or McCarron or somebody else, to try to fill that void if Tommy Novak can't get the job done. And then I think for me, anything beyond the first two lines is a concern for me, because they're going to rely heavy on those first two lines. And then that, you know, third and fourth line are going to have to pick up the slack. So that's a concern for me. Not the concern that I think it's just going to bottom out, but it's a long season. And it's ebb and flows. And, you know, you may have a period where the first unit isn't playing well or the second unit isn't playing well. We've seen it before where you got to try to miss, you know, match up lines to try to spark something. So anything, the depth of the lines are a concern for me as the season starts to go.
So you basically have concerns about depth, period. You have,
yeah,
you,
but it's the same thing. I've had this running theme about the teams here, the professional teams, whether it's the Tennessee Titans depth or the Nashville Predators depth.
All right, so I'm going to put overall depth for Derek Mason.
But he mentioned the center,
center position specifically.
I think is definitely.
And that's where I'm going with this. The Athletic had a story the other day ranking the top six centers on every team.
Top six, first
and second line centers on every team, not the top six in the NHL, but the, you know, the first and second line centers of every team. And the Predators were a part of tier six, which is called star number one center, but a major second line center question mark. You know, can Ryan O'Reilly be as productive offensively as he was last season? I have my doubts. I was surprised by how productive he was offensively last season, just as I was surprised by how productive Gus Nyquist was last season. I expect there to be a dip there offensively, but it all comes back to Tommy Novak. And if he struggles in that position, the Predators really do not have an internal option other than that. I guess you could move Steven Stamkos to center. He obviously has experience playing that position, but he's primarily been a wing lately. I would prefer to keep him there. I worry about his foot speed playing center at this stage of his career, and the other options lower on the lines, whether it's Colton Sissons or Juuso Parsonen. I don't have a lot of confidence that they can drive a productive second line. So I'm thinking of the center depth. If Ryan O'Reilly gets injured, if Tommy Novak struggles, the Predators are going to be in dire straits at that position. I think that could be the so-called Achilles heel for the Predators throughout the season. So, Willie, you seem to focus on the goalie and defensive depth. Derek talked about depth overall, but you were concerned about the center depth. I as well am concerned about the center depth. So those are questions 7 and 8 on our Predators list. We will finish the list tomorrow at Bridgestone Arena when the Predators open the season against the Dallas Stars. 615-737-1025. Titans news. The Titans have added Trevor Siemian, veteran quarterback, to their practice squad. What could this mean for Will Levis? Brian Callahan, Titans head coach, will address reporters momentarily. We will bring it to you live next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.